The tradition of brass bands around the world is quite profound, from South Asia to the Balkans, New Orleans. You've taken that to a different space musically, mixing in punk, it seems. Can you maybe talk about your sound and how it's influenced by that really deep tradition in many places globally?
Sure. Definitely with our instrumentation, we're looking principally to make people dance. That's the most exciting part of being in the band, is just every song is intended to get people up and dancing. And so certainly the people of New Orleans have figured out how to do that. And so that's been really successful. And there are these amazing Indian wedding bands over in India that do Bollywood covers and all sorts of traditional songs, but they've been given instruments by the British colonialists, and they just have these amazing renditions of film songs and popular and classical songs over there that really gets people dancing. There's this whole, you know, the Bhangra beat thing sort of hit a decade ago in America. It was very popular, and people seem to really like that. I guess what we've done to it is, if we get bored with something, we often will just make it faster, or we'll mash it up. There was a period of time where we were doing a lot of mashups of things.
That's how Raining Blood got mashed with Bhuva Mara. I think we were playing them separately, and they were sort of a little bit dead separately, but then a member just had an epiphany of, like, we'll just smash them together, and it worked beautifully.
So 20 people kind of working on these renditions of different types of sounds. I mean, how is it to be in a band with 20 brass players?
Well, we're not all brass players. There's, you know, six drummers, but yeah, being in a band with 20 people is an incredible challenge, and it's definitely very rewarding. You learn a lot about organizations and how people work together. Our band is very much not an anarchist collective, but we're pretty close to this idea that really everyone needs to be on the same page, and we have to do something with consensus. And maybe if three or four people don't want to do something, that might be enough to veto a proposal. And so there's a huge amount of voting and discussion, and every band practice also often involves maybe half an hour of planning and discussion and minutes and notes and meetings. And that part, I don't know, it's always...
It's a little bit of being... I mean, it's sad to say to be dissatisfied all the time. There's a lot of dissatisfaction because you never get what you want because you're one of 20 people. Uh-huh. So you have to just... It's like an exercise in patience and an exercise in diplomacy. And the one thing that we want to end up with is something where everyone generally agrees on basically everything we're doing. And even though that means that there's lots of people who didn't get to do lots of things that they wanted or things got changed, that kind of thing, you just sort of have to go with the group. It's a consensus type of thing. Like, that's really the essence of it.
I guess to play so tightly, musically together, it's the only way it's going to work, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, musically, yeah. It's that part is almost the easiest part, getting together and playing, you know, and making things tight and improving. That part really just works. The other part's about, oh, do you want to play this show? Oh, my buddy's got this ice cream shop that's looking for a band. Oh, we got this proposal for a wedding, but it's a rich guy and he's 70. Does anyone want to do it? I feel strongly about that. Oh, there's this demonstration we've been invited to. Oh, what's the cause? Oh, I don't believe in that. Oh, I do. And there's a fair bit of that. But musically, it all just comes together beautifully, and people really can just contribute their ideas instantly. That's probably the most direct way. You know, you're soloing or you're doing some backgrounds and moving things around.
I mean, I think we basically organize ourselves in the same way that a lot of 20-person bands play musically, which is just a lot of constant conversation. That's what's really happening when you're playing with 20 people, and we sort of do that organizationally at the same time.
Well, your model is strikingly different than mass kind of mainstream culture in the United States today, where you have, you know, overly produced artists backed by, you know, management. And what you're doing, do you view that as some sort of kind of almost spiritual or cultural challenge to the cultural mainstream in the United States?
I think there's a lot of people who come to our shows, sort of punky people who really like the fact that we are very real, and we don't have electronics, and we really aren't all brilliant technicians at our instruments, but, you know, we bring it together, and we make it tight, and we make it work, and we make something that you can dance to and really instantly appreciate. I think because of that, we have a lot of appeal. We can play a crowd of kids and parents and their babies, or we can play a punk house the next day and do a parade in between, and pretty much everyone seems to like it, which I think is that there's still mass appeal, but it's not, it seems realer, I guess. I don't know.
Keeping it real, man.
Definitely. It's hard to not keep it real when there's no tracks or auto-tunable anything. There's no wires or cables or anything to,
Or you play completely acoustically.
Yeah, definitely. Using no electricity was sort of a fundamental thing.
Why is that so important?
We can go anywhere. We can do anything. A lot of our shows in Providence, we just end up, you know, the bar says we got to close, and we just go outside and play until the cops show up and tell us to stop. And so there's really great freedom about being able to just, let's go up on that hill over there. Let's see what it's like to play on those steps, you know, down to those people.
You're coming out of a very specific tradition of our generation, which is basically emerging from the anti-globalization protests, where there was kind of a effort to build culturally autonomous, you know, projects, whether it was anarchist collectives or that translated musically. In Montreal, we have the Chaotic Insurrection Ensemble. You know, it's a cultural expression, it seems, of a very specific network and experience that, you know, tens of thousands of young people lived through on the streets in opposition to the WTO in Seattle and the World Bank and the IMF in Washington in 2000. I remember seeing those bands emerging, and it seems that now it's at a very different place in that you guys have started touring and releasing albums, and it's really interesting to see that kind of transition from the streets onto a disc, but still being able to hold those live shows down and retain that kind of street-level energy. Do you have any reflections on that relationship between kind of a rebirth of a musical tradition in the brass bands within, you know, Canada and the United States, within the kind of shadow of these anti-globalization mass protests that happened against capitalism, really, in the last decade?
I mean, I think just from us being this age, maybe, this stuff has sort of affected us as it's affected everybody. And I don't know, like, we don't consciously specifically want to do this type of band specifically because of that, but I think that that's something that's been a fundamental change in the culture, where things are changing, especially in the music industry and in a culture, and so this is a, just seems an appropriate response to that. This seems like a really appropriate type of way of approaching music right now. I feel that way anyway.
Yeah, I guess you could say we're organic music, locally grown organic locally grown music. Yeah, you, we're a bunch of people from your hometown playing a show for you in your backyard or in your alley. Yeah, I think we're not, we're pretty political. We do a lot of demos and stuff, but I would say the band spans a whole bunch of different political philosophies from the members. And definitely the other bands in the States that sort of started that movement of the activist street bands, that's what Honkfest is all about, is activist street bands. Definitely, I mean, we never learned the international, but we have played Bella Ciao several times, and people seem to appreciate that. We went to Italy, and that went over really well. But yeah, I think the whole scene of just doing things yourself and DIY and authenticity and this new idea of appreciating music for as less produced as being okay, that's definitely something we're a part of.